Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Father, I thank you and just pray, Lord, that you help us to learn something today, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. The Lord wanted me to emphasize one thing. I'm glad and thanking the Lord that from the testimonies that I just heard, that brethren are gaining something, because I'm also learning something from this. This is what the Lord wanted me to emphasize. If we don't learn anything at all, if you don't learn anything at all in this thing, because people say, well, I know someone say this is just carnal things. No, it's not too carnal. If you don't learn anything at all, learn this thing. What you should learn is this. What is in need for God? What is in need for God? Somebody, a wise man said that something like that in some of his comments. Said, you can say what is in need for you when you read the Bible. When anytime you read the Bible, you say what is in need for you. After you say what does it mean, then you want to say how does it apply to you. Now, what does it mean to God? And that is what I believe the first sermon was trying to emphasize. The first sermon that we read the first time was trying to emphasize that what does it mean to God? This thing of marriage, because God initiated it, God started it, and let's read it. What does it mean to God? Let's read Malachi. Somebody open Malachi chapter 2. That if you don't get anything at all, learn this, that God meant business. When he set this thing up, what does it mean to him? Let's start from verse 13 and read to verse 16. Malachi chapter 2, verse 13 to 16. Somebody read it, please.
And this have you done again. Covering the altar of the Lord with tears.
Covering the altar of the Lord with tears.
Weeping and with crying out. So much that he regarded not the offering anymore, or received it with goodwill as for man. Yet he said, wherefore, because the Lord has been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet he said thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. And the king now made one, yet had he the residue of the spirit, and therefore one, that he might seek a godly truth. Therefore take it to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth.
Remember he said that he might seek a godly seed. God's, what is in it for God is what I'm saying. What is in it? As far as God is concerned, what has God got to do with this thing? He is seeking a godly seed. God said that is what is in need for him. You may say, well, it's you, it's not yours, it's not your children, it's God's children. That is what is in need for God. Go ahead and read the next verse.
For the Lord, the God of Israel, said that he hated putting away. For one covering violence with the garment, said the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take it to your spirit that
ye
be not
scriptural. Praise the Lord, that's enough. What is in it for God? God is saying, even though it looks like it's a human thing, it's a human being, but God set it up, God started this thing, and said, what is in it for him? He's speaking a godly seed. Now, bring it back to the end time message, the end time, that we are going to be kings and priests unto God. God is dealing with a group of saints that he wanted to perfect for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ. And I think the last sermon or the previous one I read, or maybe it was almost at the last minute, I was reading the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ, chapter 17 of John. He said that they may be one. He was talking to the church that the church may be one. If God, the God of heaven and earth, was praying, and the last prayer he could pray was that they may be one, it's serious. I'm saying it is serious. If you take it seriously, we say, hey Lord, how will this be? How can the church, I always look at the church and say, how can the church be one? Well, forget about the denomination, but start from the household unit, because the devil is whom we are fighting against, so that they may be one. So what is in it for God? This is for marriage, this is what is in it for him. For the unity we are talking about, that the Americans will use. There's something at stake here. I mean, God has a lot at stake when it comes to the oneness that he's talking about. So that is why I say, what is in need for God? You should consider that. And I want to, you will see the Bible, look at the Bible, it's only talking about men to this one. Be careful how you treat your wife and so on. So that she, and to the women too, be careful how you handle these issues. Why? Because God is a lot at stake here when it comes to God. What is in it for God is very important, very serious. You may say, well, God is talking to the Israelites. He said, be careful how you are treating your wives and so on and so forth, which looks like the responsibility of the man. But you know, when we were growing up, there were things that people told us, that people get married and say, well, it can't divorce me, so they misbehave. They misbehave and do whatever they like to do and become unruly. What is the need for God? If you fear God, you better obey these scriptures too, especially women. I'm saying that because God meant it. What is the need for him? God meant business. Just like he's talking to the men. Most of the time you look at the Bible, God is always addressing the men. But you see, he's leaving the women to the fact that you have to be submissive to the man he has put over your head. So what is the need for God? Serious business. God meant business. So take it seriously, because it's not just me and my wife or you and your wife. It is God and you dealing. So God has something at stake that we need to respect and fear and say, well, Lord, I want to do it just for you, just for Jesus. Amen? Praise the Lord. Do it for Jesus. Now, we actually want to go into this, some of these questions that have already been given out here, and that we are arranging in a way that the last one will be the one that I will talk on, because it's saying talk more on this lecture, which we are not talking about, which is communication. I've mentioned some of it, but let's read these questions, and then we'll give very, these are very direct questions, so it should be very short and straightforward. There's a question that said, as you said in your teaching, Corinthians chapter 12 or so, as concerning touching, let every man ask his own wife, you said a man should only touch his own wife. Does that mean literal touching, like hugging, kissing, or a deeper touch that happens between couples? Well, that question is straightforward. When I first read through, I thought she was asking whether it is okay to touch hug and in family, so that I then read the guy, so he's saying, from what I said, I remember saying something like, well, I think she was referring, referring to the fact that I mentioned that the Lord told me that we love all the brethren of God, but your wife, whomever you give to you, the one you can touch. The touch I'm talking about there is not just touching, literal touching, it's talking about the romantic touching, which is the way she was, whoever Rosie was alluding to. Because are you talking about the deeper touch that happens between couples? Well, I'm talking about that, the romantic touch is what I'm talking about. Well, the hugging and kissing in the household of faith, I may have my own opinion, I may have my own observation, but that I'm going to leave that to your conscience. There's a, remember a brother came that Rafibi invited a long time ago, James Dunn. And he was one of the old timers, he came to Capstone, and he one of the times I said, hug one another, but you brothers, all brothers, sisters, all sisters, and if I see you hugging the sister, it must be your wife. So different people have different way of, that is how I feel, and some people may not feel that way anyway. But what this question was saying is, do you mean the touch or the, when I said touch there, I was saying the romantic touch. Now the next question. So I leave that one like that. That is, whatever the Lord puts in your heart to do when it comes to the physical, I hope she's not talking about the just kiss one another, maybe he meant blowing kisses and so on. Here's another one that said, please explain 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 1 to 5. Let somebody read that. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 1 to 5.
Can I make a question? If there may be other inputs.
Yeah.
question for the
about the touching?
About touching, about someone who has another house, you know, take, feel free to share what I do.
Anybody wants to comment on that? Or express your feeling about it if you want to. Maybe feeling may not be the right thing. But the reason why I just won't leave it that way is because different people feel differently about that. Even without me expressing my own feeling, different people feel differently about that. And I can point to some Bible verses which I believe that's why I just wanted to just if somebody wants to have any comment on that, I want to comment on it. That is the other general touching or hugging is what I'm talking about, it's what he's talking about, not the... But I try to explain what I meant when I said, the Lord said, you can only touch the one he gives to you, means the romantic touch, that is the one I was meaning. But this general question, I say, are you talking about touching or hugging or kissing? Anybody have any comments on that? Whether it is permissible or permissible or not permissible or whatever it is?
Scripturally, I don't see anything wrong with hugging a sister. The Bible once mentioned, I've forgotten the scripture particularly, that said about kissing one another with holy kiss. I don't believe it should be a French kiss or anything like that. If you feel like maybe kiss somebody on the cheek, which I don't do myself, but I don't see that it is sin or anything. As long as you're doing it with clean conscience, you're not doing it out of loss or anything like that. Touching a sister that I think this person might have in mind might be maybe going in the romance way that should not be mentioned among the children of God or even the tolerated. So, but as for hugging Christian sisters or touching the man who can be kissed person on the cheek, I personally don't feel like there's anything against the word of God like that.
Well, that's a brother of the freedom, other one.
Form of Christian church, keep one another in the Holy Spirit. In the middle, in those times of war, even if you watch TV on some, like President, he goes to meet this person from this time of, the way most of them, most, this was the conflict. You know, cheat. That's what I kind of happened to me. Most of those things in space and stuff like that. When it comes to live to live, that's a whole different body. I have the right, my husband, as a husband, to keep my wife live to live. But when, and then also that's what we have to understand that we're being against you because we're ready to live. What is somebody's motivation? But what is the spirit behind what they're doing? And if there are forces in ships in that call, they are looking for something else. And then you find them in church, your tears and stuff like that. And they want to take advantage of the sister or whatever. So I believe that's what when you talk about kissing and all that stuff. If you're holding a sister and your motivation is he's not here. You should check yourself out. Amen.
There was a brother that preached this sermon in this house about the motivation and intent. And my last brother saying that if your heart is not pure, you get a handshake. That scripture that we're talking about, that just, the Lord just brought that sermon back to my mind. Because it's the heart that determines what your intentions are. If you say you are hoping to feel because you want to feel, that is wrong in the eyes of God. But if you feel like you have put your intention, you then go for a handshake. Or don't shake because man, but if your intention is fear, and you can hug. But I remember that someone that was delivered in this house a month back ago, and that's something.
Those are all good opinions, and I believe that, let me just read this Bible verse, that, let me just read this too, and then we can move on to the next parable. Let somebody else more. This is Proverbs chapter 6. Verse 20. My son, this is talking to everybody, especially the boys, the men. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thy heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and the proofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thy heart, neither let her take thee with her high lips. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man keep fire in his bosom, and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals, and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth in to his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. Men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold, he shall give all the substance of his house. But whoso committed adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. For jealousy is the rage of a man. Therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts. Amen. There is someone that summarizes, but Christ also said that if you look to lust after the woman, you have already committed adultery with her in your heart. So that's exactly what Jesus said, if your motive is pure, if your motive is not right, and so on. So you've got to balance, you've got to begin to balance everything. Another thing is, another point I want to point out is that jealousy. Jealousy is the rage of a man. There have been cases where people don't feel comfortable with seeing other brothers kiss, you know, hugging their wives, or other sisters don't feel comfortable seeing their husband hugging another woman. Now that would be like jealousy. Okay? Now, if somebody is saying, I feel like doing that, and your wife is around and she is not feeling comfortable seeing you do that, maybe you want to, like Apostle Paul said, I would rather not eat meat if it's going to make my brother, my sister to offend. So those are things you also have to balance when you begin to say, well, maybe it's okay. My mind can be pure, but how does she look at it? How does he look at it? So those are all the things where you may say, well, you see, this thing is a very complicated thing that you've got to now let the Bible balance your both right side and the left side. If somebody accuses you in your own house and says, maybe this and that, you couldn't say, this is not good enough, this is not, and you stick with it, maybe you want to begin to avoid the environment. So these are things that you've got to balance in life generally. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we cannot overbid that. It's simply giving us wisdom that, yeah, we cannot draw the line and say, how do you, can see my heart is pure, but the other fellow is not seeing it that way. Because of, like we said before, we said there are some spirits that also move around and say, see your husband doing that, don't see? Or see your wife doing that, don't see? And those spirits are still moving around, they have not gone on vacation. Amen? Praise the Lord. But guard your heart, according to Solomon said, from the above, he said that we are to guard our hearts diligently. That heart, the same thing what comes to your mind, guard it diligently so it doesn't come to that heart. Because those things will come, the voices will come. We are fighting a warfare. I've always said that we are fighting a warfare. Those voices will come, whether you invite them or not, they will come. Whether you see them or not, they will come. But then guard yourself. He said, "They have," because this is the treasure of life. So once you guard it, so that the voices come, you bolt it out. And even I was just this afternoon, I was watching the movie, and one woman said to her husband, "said Why is it that anytime you?" Why is it that something happened and the woman said, well, this is what it is, period, there's nothing to it. And he said, oh, okay, honey, and she was about to leave and she said, well, it's so coincidental that the same dress you gave to me is the same dress that woman wore on Sunday. As she went back. Well, so you may say, well, you wonder what can come to the mind, can come to the mind. So that's why I said, we got to guide our heart and also guide against those jealousy sins. Let's go to the next question. I think that is number three, number four. What role do children have in the marriage? That's another question. What role do children have in the marriage? Oh, well, we know that this is a very important issue. Many, many marriages have problems when they begin to have children. It's like children come in between them. It's a common thing in life. So that's a role that that's a negative role that you want to now. All the counselors will tell you that you want to keep that marriage itself. The spousal relationship is almost more important than getting the children to interfere. Even when they are still little, maybe that the little baby is more or less becoming the focus of attention. It has been noted in this land, at least, not to say the world alone, that women shifted all the attention to the baby, and the man, some men, or most men, or unbelievers, you can say these are unbelievers. That is why we believers should use the Bible, the Word of God, to guide ourselves. But it is natural that when those attention, affection is diverted to the new baby, or for so long, some men can get so jealous. Not only jealous, it's just that they feel left alone, they feel that they are not having the time enough with their spouse, with their wife. So that is an issue in many of the marriages. And not to talk of when the little girls or the little kids are growing up and become extra burden. They begin to do for it. But the most important thing, according to what most people say, is get the spousal relationship commitment to that spouse first. That should be your first priority before the children. The women have made a major problem with this because the motherly affection seems to be very strong, that it becomes almost like the thing is shifted, the love is shifted. But that is the part you have to wash against. It's very, very important. And whether it's going to be, some people, that's what you see Americans full of that, they say, take a week vacation, you and your spouse, and just leave the children with somebody else, and just do that. So, to build that relationship, because there will be a time when they are gone, and you wear that way, you don't have anything anymore with your spouse. That is common. That is very, very common, and it's a danger. Many marriages are breaking apart when the children are gone, even in this country. And among which you listen on channel 90.3, was a KFLR, Saturdays, every Saturday, there's this counselor that comes, and people call in and ask questions, Christians. So you can say that this thing is not local to unbelievers alone. Even believers have these issues, that when you have somebody to talk to, maybe past year, that's why they are calling to those radio broadcasts and discussing it, and that might give them some recommendation. But these things happen, we children can be really, and also not only that, how many things you have to do, like how do I discipline my children, could be a bone of contention. But all of those, the communication, the getting to be one, is what the tools you will use to work on that. And then what is our plan for our children, what type of thing, all of those things are issues you have to wrestle with as you go. But these are the roles the children will play most of the time in marriage. They shouldn't be breaking the marriage. They should be a blessing. So the children are the heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is reward. If they are reward, they are not expected to break you. Now that should make the woman now be, this is now the new husband, and the husband over there, they don't care whether he comes or goes. That is not working in most houses. Any other person can comment on that, but that is my toothpick. Any other comment on that? On that role of children. Okay, the last question, any other question, please write them down, we'll take it from next some other time. This is the other part I said, I feel that communication is very important in a marriage. You touched on it a little in the last time. I want to know if there are specific examples and ways in the Bible to deal with the issue. That's why I said I will leave that for the last part so that we can go further in a little bit and talk about communication. Communication is important, and every one of us, I don't know, some are better in communication than the others. Communication simply means I talk, you talk, I listen, you listen. Communication is actually two-way. It has to do with sending information and receiving information. And we always have problem. Everyone they have problem either somehow. If there will be a problem, it could be the problem with the sender. We do that in. I have my brother here that is an electrical engineer with us. So we did some communication in the electronics. It can be with the receiver. If you tune your radio station and you are not hearing it clearly, what's wrong? Maybe your receiver. Or maybe the station. Okay? So it can also be the medium. The air is going through the air. And that is communication. So there are all those things in talking, when you want to talk between you and your wife and you just want to discuss anything, those errors, those issues can also be the problem. It could be with the man that is saying it or the woman that is speaking. It could also be with the fellow that is listening, that she or he is not hearing. Because there are many ways of people, they will only hear what they want to hear. That's another reason, some other problem. It's also possible that the walls are modeled up, and the devil specializes in that. You say, how can that be? How can I say this and it look like modeled up before it gets to the ear? It's going through the ear also. And we say the devil is the prince of the power of the ear. And the stress, when it comes to communication, the stress that you put on the walls make a difference. The intonation. In fact, some of the people that you call, they call themselves specialists in this type of things, discussion, communication, they will tell you that the percentages, what you say, the sentence you say, maybe just the 10%, but the tone you used to say, your flex, the flex you put, your body language is telling something. That's communication. So people say, well, we have a problem in our household is that we just don't talk, we don't communicate. But sometimes that communication, you are talking of the verbal part, but many other things you are communicating is really communication. If somebody walks in right now and I look at him and do like this, I've already communicated. Okay? And just seeing my eye look like that, she is already sensing something. So it depends on, it's not just what you say, it's also what is felt. When you see, these are all the things that man also said in some of his examples that I give previous. It has to do with what is said or what is conveyed. Because what are you conveying when you are saying something? Let us back come from the house, from work, the wife is at home and cooking and you say, hi. And you say, hi. Maybe yesterday it was not like that high. Maybe yesterday it was a different high. Okay, now the man thinks, wow, something is wrong. It may be, maybe high is the high, but the tone has changed. So somebody begins to say, something is wrong here. And that's how the man felt, because of the tone. So what we are saying is that communication is not just the words, not the talk of the speech you put on the words. So these are all the issues that come to communication. Very, very important. So enthusiasm is very important, or you don't be as I said. Now let's talk. Suppose you wanted to discuss something, very, very important issue, financial issue. You need to communicate. You need to talk on things like that. These are dangerous ground when it comes to financial situation. You need to talk about it. But if you just can't sit down and talk 10 minutes something before get angry, everybody's angry and you become loud voices, then we have issue. So those are the steps, those are the problems we always have in marriage, in the world, not only marriage, even in the anybody you are dealing with, if you are dealing in your offices, you need to communicate. But what I just said, I said something some sermons before, I said one of the major issues that I have observed that could be a major problem in human life is this. When I talk to somebody in the office that is not related to me, all the relationship I have with that fellow is a secretary, is my co-worker, I don't own him or her, I use a different tone. And we never go into exchange of arguments. No, even if you ever go into exchange of hot exchange with anybody in the office, what will they say about you or that fellow? Everybody will think that fellow or you, something is wrong with you. If you ever, whatever business life you are working or business or job you are doing, if you ever have to confront somebody in the office and you, both of you raise your voice and shout at one another, whatever you are discussing, what will the other employees say or think? They will think something is wrong with whoever they think is doing it. So, if because of that, everybody in that I have worked with, or everybody in the job office, they always talk not with respect, whether to the man, like yourself, or even to a woman, you talk with respect. If the man, the woman say, "No, I can't do that," you don't raise your voice, you don't. But why is it different in the household? I told the brother, I said, "Do you think we can actually transfer that type of mentality to the household?" The reason why people can't transfer it because there is this possessiveness. You think she is my wife, you think he is my husband, then you raise your voice as if he must do it or she must do it. And it becomes like you own this thing. That perhaps is the difference. If I'm talking to a co-worker that is a female, and I say, "This is how this thing needs to be done," and she has the right to disagree and say no, but she's not going to raise her voice and say, no, go away. Okay, of course, she will say that. But neither, even if she says no, neither would I raise my voice and insist that she has to be, even if I'm the boss. Because some bosses have been taught that you can't do that to your employees, otherwise you lose them. So now what I'm trying to point out is that this thing we were taught in the office world, if we can transfer it to the household, it will be, for your own household, it will be making things easier. Just to remind me again of the video I was watching this afternoon on TV, the same series. These two couples, is actually called breaking up. These two couples are always fighting. They couldn't stay, they couldn't discuss anything without hot argument and exchanges of words. The only time they are not fighting is when they are in bed together. Every action is shit. And at the end of it, they settle things and what as they settled that did. They started talking to one another like as if they were strangers. Like the man I talked to in the office, the woman I talked to, they are like strangers to me. So I'm not going to bore you, insist that they do it my way. Not so. Neither would they raise their voice. But that is a way that might work. If you have that type of respect for one another, it might work to some extent. But if a human being, we just can't do it that way. Because it looks like I have a leash on this fellow, or she has a leash on that fellow. That is why some people will say, "This fellow is trying to control me." And that is issue. That is very important issue. Now, on that part of communication, I really want to point to say, what are the problems? What are the problem issues? These are some things that some of the researchers have found out that they say could cause what they call circuit breakers in communication. Circle breakers means somebody who doesn't want to talk anymore because the reaction I got last time is not comfortable. And so it's almost like a tortue, or if you think of a snail. If snail is trying to come out of the shell and it touches something, it tries to come, it quickly get back inside the shell, or tortue. They want to come out of their shell and they contact something, there's danger here, they go back in and stay there for a longer time. That is what some people, most of you, will do also in communication. If I come and try to start something and say, something is happening to my office and the fellow shoot me down, I say, "Gee, I don't think you are interested in what I'm trying to say." Then, when I come next time, next week, I won't say anything anymore. Or if I say something and this fellow gets upset and angry and he turns to rage, and then I don't want to even raise anything anymore. I mean, it makes people withdraw back into their shell and not communicate anymore, at least verbal communication. Those are what we call circuit breakers. These are a list of them. Let me just list them out so that we can see how can we work on some of these is the issue. Most of the solution is, according to some of these experts, is to be selfless. Selfless. The more spouse-centered, that is, think more of the other person. Think more of the other person, I mean, think of your spouse. An example of this is this. Circle breaker, if you are not listening, how can you know somebody is not listening when you are talking, when you are trying to say something? You want to start a dialogue, you want to say something that is bugging you in your office or something like that, and if somebody is not listening, you can tell maybe they are not looking at you. Many of us are raised differently though. Some people in America here, maybe they are raised to, if you are talking to them, they want you to look at their eyes. I ran into that when I came from America, from Nigeria here. My boss was talking to me and I was looking around in his office, me and him in his office. And he said, "Look at my eyes, look at my eyes." And what do? You look at his eyes once and take it away again. But that's how they were raised. I said, well, wait, wait a minute. I left that office. It's a black man like myself. I think what he said, that almost like a rapey man. Look at my eyes, I'm talking to you. And I said, why didn't we do that? Maybe we were to not look at people's eyes when they are talking, it's like insult. No, so if I look at my daddy's eyes like this and it looks like I'm rude. Well, maybe that is background. But they are different. Yeah, they are different. Look at me when I'm talking to you. Because that's how you know that you are paying attention to what I'm saying. Or you are interested in what I'm saying. Now, if I'm trying to say something to you, or you are trying to say something to me, and I'm turning television and you keep talking, I'm listening, but I'm watching this thing on TV, somebody can read the news that I don't think it's interesting. That is one of the examples they say, not listening, as in listed as many people just shut up and they don't want to say anything anymore. But you know what that is, we have to try to do something differently. Maybe you have to show some interest in what the fellow is saying. To show that, yeah, I'm interested, maybe I have to look at the fellow. I'll stop what I'm doing and say, yeah. And another thing perhaps I would add to that is, if the fellow is trying to say something and you show interest, maybe you want to probably just listen rather than try. And that's another problem with the difference between men and women. This magazine I gave out here, some of those people are liking that. That some men, or most men, they want to give you a solution. If you are saying something, you are not actually asking them to give you a solution. They want to give you a solution, almost like that's how men are wired. They want to fix it. Whereas, maybe you just want them to listen and just pat you in the back and say, everything's going to be, I'm on your side, everything's going to be alright. So those are things that we have to learn as human beings. Somebody said, well, if we are Christians, no, this thing shouldn't be. Yeah, but we are still human beings and this flesh has not been crucified fully yet. Like the Bible said, we are still in this mortal body, and as long as we are in this mortal body, we have to die daily. These are some of the things we need to die to. Now, another thing they will call cycle breaker is, I said, not listening. One other thing is, if the other person is not initiating discussion, that is very common. This fellow is always the one that wanted to start a talk, and is talking and talking. Unless you ask questions, the other fellow is just not going to say anything, not going to comment, not even going to start. It goes on in many other things, not just in talking. Even in many households, it may be the husband is the only one that's always initiating romance, the wife never. To be the wife always initiating romance, the husband never. The same thing with discussion, with communication, it has to be what? Exchanging of opinion. If I'm only transmitting and the other only receiving, what do you call that? Radio. That is radio. That's what radio is. You can't talk back except now that you can call the station and say, I hear you. That's now possible. But in the only days, there's nothing like that. You just talk, and they are just talking, hoping that somebody is listening in the radio land. But that is radio. But communication, that's possible. It's halfway. The communication is that you have to talk back, so it's telephone. Talk to the telephone. So communication is he talks and I listen, and I talk and he listens. Because that's the only way I know that he is actually dead. Because I say, you are in the other island and I'm on this island, we need to talk to one another. And I turn to that radio station, to that frequency, and I beep, and you have to say, over, so I can speak. So that is communication. So one of the things that most of these researchers found out is that some people say they just shut up if he's not initiating anything. So we've got to remember that. Another thing they mention here is not showing enthusiasm. That is, the fellow is talking, let's say I have a project, I want to do this project, and I'm so excited, I did not do this direction, and the other fellow is not enthusiastic about it. That can shut me down. That can shut you down. Let's say you have a plan that, hey, this is my next strategy, and the fellow is not showing, hey, let's go for it. And it's like, oh, perhaps it's always discouraging you from going that direction. If you are personally thinking this is where the Lord is leading you, and the other fellow is trying to say, let's not go in that direction. What do you think will happen? Sometimes the next step, you don't want to tell the fellow. And just go and do your own. But those are part of why enthusiasm is also very important. If you are not showing enthusiasm in what the fellow is discussing, or wanting to discuss, they will shut up and never continue the discussion. Circuit breaker. Circuit breakers is things that if it pops, you have to go to your backyard and switch it on again. So that's why you say it breaks the cycle, that is, this fellow is not going to talk anymore unless you something have to come back and we start all over again to fix it. Now the other part is anger. If somebody is always getting upset anytime they start this particular discussion or some discussion, or they can never talk so long enough before it turns into a fist fight or a verbal fight, that could make people not to want to even start anymore. Because they know that, hey, each time you talk, it's always going to turn into a verbal fight. So they just keep everything in. So these are shackles because that people have noted that if this is the situation, they don't want to talk. They don't want to even initiate discussion. Anger. Or turn into anger. This other one is very, very important. Contentious. Solomon always said that a lot of Bible verses in Proverbs that mention contentious. It's a contentious woman. It's like any drip on the rain. What is contention? That is, I call it critical spirit. That is anything this fellow, if this fellow is on this side, the other party wants to be on this side of the debate. It shouldn't be like that. But that is called contempt. Or let somebody suggest that we need to go and buy a new vacuum cleaner. This one is no more working. And the other fellow is contending in me that no, we have to keep managing. We can. That is purely called contention. Anything that this fellow wants to, if this fellow is going to shoot it down, that's called contention. And it makes some people not to want to talk anymore if there's contention. There's one that's contention spirit. Another thing that people mention that is always causing them to withdraw from discussion is opinionated by people. What is opinionated? That is, they always have some opinion on everything. Whether they are right or wrong, they would want to debate. And that's another thing that people don't like. Some people don't want debate. They just want to express their mind. That if I express my mind and you have a strong opinion against whatever I'm saying. Also, it's similar to the contention. The contention is like you just want to say no, but this one just want to debate. And the debate, if somebody doesn't want to debate, most likely we don't want to start it. Well, if I start this thing now, we will not go here. We will not leave until tomorrow. He's going to talk about it. So that's another thing that people mention that does not allow them to want to talk anymore. And then many other things, maybe perhaps the other one that is a big is suspicious spirit. If somebody has been accused of something, or a suspicious thing is like something you walk and see, it should have been here by 9 or 5 o'clock. What's happening? And whatever explanation you give, you not satisfied. That should be suspicion. Whether you have found something before, you have not found something before, it becomes suspicious. Then it breaks communication. When there's suspicious spirit of whatever the other party is doing or not doing or hard is doing or is good, that makes you to begin to wonder too much. You begin to be too much concerned that it's late, she's late, and the imagination begins to run wild. That suspicious spirit can make you just lose communication. They don't want to talk anymore on anything. So those are what we call cycle breakers that can be problem, make people not want to talk, not want to even start a discussion with their spouses. And there could be other things that could make, that could be real issues that are not just these ones. If somebody is sick, you just want to talk. Also, if somebody is depressed, that is emotional depression, they don't want to talk. Those are all other things that perhaps they come and go. But those are things that also we need to remember when it comes to communication. And how do we help? How do we solve all of these things? Most of the time, you got to think of the other person. Let's say you are the one that is depressed, and your friend or your partner comes home and is trying to tell you about something that is also going on in his own life. Not so. He's trying to tell you about what's going on in his office, perhaps. Of course, you don't want to be bothered at this time. But if you want to be spouse-minded, spouse-centered, you want to put your own problem aside. That's what the Bible teaches us. Put your own problem aside and try to listen, encourage the fellow to talk, and go vice versa. So that's why some of those things are recommended. That if you are spouse-centered rather than self-centered, you can actually defeat most of all these issues. All of these things that we listed that have to do with that. Now another thing is that we talk about communication, because the question said examples and practical ways that you can resolve this. Like we said, there are many things that communicate. It's not just the verbal one. Even a smile is a communication. So why don't you use the positive one sometimes, smiling or many other things that you can do that could be some gestures, that could be, that's also communication. Now what I'm trying to see, what other thing I wrote down here, that now the other part of communication that is a very important thing is what some of these people have recommended that are experts in this thing, is there are different types of communication that we should actually have in our household. There are some times you don't want to discuss some things at some environments. Take for example financial issue. You have problem with you are not paying your bill on time and it's fault or it's our fault or whoever is fault to send the bill out, and you want to talk about it, and or perhaps there's no money to send it out, perhaps that's the problem. When should you talk about it? Should you be when the children are around? So these are the situations, maybe sometimes you want to begin to decide that we should have communication in this format. So those are issues also that have to do with communication. When should we talk about things like this? There's what some people call boardroom meeting, where you actually have to, the CIOs and CEOs, they don't talk the real morning with the employees, no? So they go to a special room and they sort of war room. And that war room is a special place where they only talk about war. Whatever is the war, it could be engineering war, it could also be financial war. So there are the same thing where you have to know that in the household it's like a business where you have a director, you have the manager, and then you have to discuss things that have to do with issues like that. So there is a time when you don't want to discuss this around kids. There's a time when you don't want to discuss, when you want to get a proper place and really discuss it and not raise tempo and listen and talk it over in like adults. You see, talk like adults. We are adults, basically. Talk like as if you are employer and two colleagues work together on a project. It's the right word. If we are working together on a project, one can be a domineering one because he wants to dictate how we should do this project here. We always run into that in the offices, but there are also ways to put them in their proper position when they are talking of employees. But in the household, where it's husband and wife, you've got to work out on the divine love, on the love, on the patience, and all the intangibles to make all of those communication work. But the communication part of it is essential, that it has to be going, it has to be ongoing, it has to be continually worked on. You can't say, well, we fixed it today, next week is coming. And it's a continual process, because you are going to have new things coming into your life, just like you have now. You are your wife, then you have children. When they come in, there's the different aspect of communication. Those children come to a particular stage, there will be a different type of communication, different issues that you've got to communicate on. And those are the things that we have to work on to make sure that we keep the communication part going. And you cannot, and most of the time people want to cut it off. If you cut it off for a while, you most likely will realize that you don't have to come to it, because yes, it's like you said, you got to do it God's way. Praise the Lord. Like we said, when we remember everything we have talked about when it comes to communication, there will be always be the anger. There will be all occasional things like that. There will be the frustration. There will be the anger, the temper tantrum. But we still have to resolve this issue. If we have to resolve it, you may have to walk around and go away and count to 10, like we say, count to 10 and come back and then talk it over. But since this has to be resolved, and you remember, you have to do it for Him, for Christ. And if we are going to do it for Christ and not for Him, not for her, but for Christ, then you come back to the Bible and say, the Bible says I should do it this way, and I'm going to do it this way. The Bible says I should submit to my husband, I should submit to my husband. The Bible says I should show love to my wife and show all the fruits of love. Say love. Those fruits of love is what is really talking about when you say show love. That is, sometimes you are upset, I'm upset, and you want to come back and say, the Bible says I should show love. So let's put it this way. Who should be the one that should come back and start the discussion? Who should be the one that should come back and break the ice, is the right word I use, because the management, I don't know whether you run into that. Many people run into that in their family for days, they don't talk. Also for some hours, because she's upset, he's upset. And whoever is the maturest person, there's no word like that, whoever is the most humble, whoever is more close to God should be the one to break the ice. I mean, if you say, I am the better Christian, then be the one to break the ice. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I mean, the better Christian who can say, I'm the better Christian, should be the one to say, you know something? I'm sorry. You say, well, how can you say you are sorry when you are not the one that is faulty? Yeah, but if you are the better Christian, you are the one who say you are sorry. Because the Bible commanded that, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Well, you can say that, yeah, it's coming to almost 6 p.m. right now. Wait a minute, what am I going to do? But say, gee, if I go and say I'm sorry, he's going to think, or she's going to think, she won. And that's another thing about communication. Some people want to debate, they want to be to have the final say. That's the argumentative part, maybe I didn't mention that. They want to have the final say, and if you say that's enough, no, it's not enough yet. Because they are not settled until, you are no more saying anything, and they finish, but all of those things are human nature. They are human nature. And when we know they are human nature, the one that say, hey, whoever remember that he's a Christian first. So hey, I'm a Christian, I'm expected to be different. Should be the one to say, hey, I'm sorry. And then hold to your own part of the problem. An example came to my mind when I was thinking about it. Suppose a brother sitting down and put his legs right there, and another brother, or let's say his wife, let's also brother and brother, carrying the water bottle and then trip on the leg and the water bottle fell. How do you talk about this? You can talk about it too many ways. That person can say, gee, why do you put your legs up there? You should sit up straight. Well, I said it this way, I can also say it louder. Why do you put your leg all the way up the whole time, eh? Well, see, now that is the communication. And that brother can say, you should be looking where you are going. Well, that is communication. I told my kids one time, I said, you can say that differently and it's not going to be an argument. I mean, the same words, you can use the same words, but don't raise the voice. And don't stress the wrong words, and you still communicate what you want to communicate. You can also say it better, not so. I can still say it differently, and it will make him raise his voice. If I don't raise mine. So, and then of course, let's say I raise mine, and he remember that he is a better Christian. And he used the Bible that said, a soft answer, turneth away wrath. Then he is a better Christian. That's Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1. That is where communication comes in. You raise the voice, you cannot raise the voice, and then it becomes, you can begin to have a fist fight. But who is going to be the one to remember first who you are? That is the one we are talking about. That's what the Bible is commanding all of us, to remember first who we are. And use the word of God, follow it, submit to it. Even when that thing bites you, what he just said bites you, almost like somebody pierced you with the sword. Because Solomon said that thing, you know, there is that speaking like the piercing of the sword. Well, yeah, that's just that. They just say, wait a minute, why are you sitting like this with all your legs like a dog? You can say that way, and that bites him because you just call him a dog. And then that man says, well, gee, you should be looking where you are going. Whereas if you say differently and say, hey, honey, I'm sorry that I trip on you, but you just take responsibility for tripping on him. I don't think he's going to say, look at where you're going next time, unless it's a monster, not so. You also say, oh, I'm sorry, I must have fallen asleep. Why did I put my legs there too long? So that is what he's saying. Take your own responsibility, I take my responsibility, and perhaps the problem will be resolved without turning into a fight or into a war of words. But that's just an example of communication. So how do you communicate? What do you say? How do you say? The tone you use, the body language you use, these are all the contributing factors. But remember, when we remember whom we are as saints of the Most High God, just remember that word, saints. What does it connotate? Holy. Saints. So are we saintly? Let's think about that. Am I a saint of the Most High God? And in every communication, in every word, that's what I want to always try to remember. Let's try to remember that, saints of the Most High God. Gee, And let's go to prayer. Any other, unless you have some other question, if any other question, perhaps we could write down, go into that later next time. Let's go into prayer right now. Remember, we are saints of the Most High. Let's stand up. And so let us be saintly in everything we do. Father, I plead the blood of Jesus upon us. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. You say you are called to be saints. And yet you have said, Lord God, you have come into the midst of, let me use the Bible, the exact how Paul wrote it. Father, we have come to that assembly, the assembly of just men made perfect, is what he said. So you have called us to be just men, and you have called us to be perfect, and you have called us to be saints, Lord. And that is what we want to be, Lord. We pray for ourselves individually. We want to work on ourselves individually. The man work on himself, the woman work on herself, work on how he responds, how he speaks, how she responds, how she speaks, so that we can communicate correctly. Father God, we pray for ourselves, Lord Jesus Christ, that as you have called us to be saints, and you have said we have come to the assembly of just men made perfect, help us, Lord God, to show forth that we are just men made perfect also in this. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord Jesus Christ, to walk as becoming saints, as what God has said. To talk like oracles of God, as what God has said. Father God, help us, Lord Jesus Christ, to be here for, to remember who we are every time, in every situation, in every aspect of our life, in our household, in the kitchen, in the street, in the bathroom, even in the unbeliever, to remember who we are. Help us, Lord God, to always remember that. Because you are in us, Lord Jesus, that we are carrying the King of Kings around. And our God is holy. So that be ye holy for our body. Father God, help us, Lord God, to show forth that holiness. And to show forth that gentleness. And to show forth all these fruits of the Holy Ghost that you have shed. The love of God is already shed abroad into our hearts by the Holy Ghost. But help us, Lord God, to let that love flow. Starting from our own household, flow between spouses and spouses, between parents and children. Because when you see communication, even the way some parents talk to their children alone is causing confrontation in the household. Father God, we pray, Lord God, that you help us, Lord God, to let our mouth be bridled by your word. Let our mind be purified by your word in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that we can be examples of righteousness, holy people. Those whom God has blessed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Who's blessed? I am blessed. I'm inked up a little bit. Amen. Amen.